I think we've been a little quiet. I realize that you've just finished your lunch, but I think that we ought to make some noise for the Lord. Amen. I think you can at least give God a hand clap. Now, I need to first tell y'all, I'm just honored and excited about this opportunity to share with you. I want to give honor to our president of the newly formed Afro-American Fellowship, which is a part of this convention. God is good, isn't he? I'm trying to see, is there anybody in here that know God is good? I tell you, he's a mighty good God, isn't he? I just came in to share with you a little bit about the shift situation. I thank him for inviting me. I thank for that very gracious introduction. But I just want to thank God for my friend, Dr. Jordan. I tell you, every time I'm around him, I'm just floored at his preaching ability. When he came to Lawton, I had to watch out because some of my members would say, when is he coming back? And I told him the next time I feel like I don't want to preach. Amen. I thought about some things. First of all, one of the problems with change. Now, I don't know if you have them in your church, but we have what is a little group called mumblers and grumblers. Am I somewhere with anybody? Listen, they are everywhere, but especially in seemingly in Baptist churches. And I think that's because we got a committee over the committee that's over the committee that looks into this committee, and they all committee the pastor. So I think moving forward, anytime you start to change and move forward, change your direction, is always met with opposition. Now, have I got a witness right there? You can talk to me. It won't scare me. Amen. I come from a noise church. We make a lot of noise. And actually, if I had time, I'd have had some of them sing. You haven't heard no noise. Amen. When I visited some of the churches in Lawton, the First Baptist, they're kind of quiet. And when they invite me over, they say, oh, we finna have some noise now? Amen. I wanted to say, when you begin to reposition, and everybody knows we have to reposition sometimes. When you begin to reposition in order to become more effective with kingdom business, you will always run into what I call the opposition folk. Do you know what they say? You know that Baptist saying, don't you? Why we need to change? We've always done it this way. But the truth of the matter is they only say that when you change and they don't like the change. Can I get an amen right there? This is a pastor's conference. Pastors, we might as well be a witness that whenever we start changing things, people get upset, don't they? You thought you disbanded that pastor search committee. I sure ought to get some amen right there. Can I share this on my way through here? Man can't call a pastor. God sends pastors. You don't believe it's in your Bible, Jeremiah 15th chapter, I think, 3rd chapter, 15th verse. It plainly states in there that I will send pastors after my own heart. The problem is when you get pastors after your heart, and then all of a sudden they don't want to do what you say. That's not mine. Y'all don't owe me anything. You don't owe me anything for that one. That was free. There, as a matter of fact, when you're in opposition, there are some folk you just can't please. No, I don't care what you do, it won't please them. We're Baptist folk are big about eating. Y'all might be, amen. If we invite folks to church, the first thing we say, we're having a dinner. We think that, but the problem with that is, even when you feed them every Sunday, they're going to have opposition when you stop feeding them. Watch. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get to my scripture. I know we're good Baptistic folk, and you need a scripture, and you need a topic, and all of that. I'm on my way there. I got some minutes. She's right there. She'll let me know. Thank God for the lady with the cards. And one of the reasons why you got to say amen, because if you don't say amen, I think I need to preach longer. Listen, the fact of the matter is, brothers, in this shift situation, in making a change, you cannot please God and man at the same time. The Bible declares that you will love the one and hate the other, cling to one, so you can't please both of them. So the fact of the matter is you can't please everybody. The Bible says write the vision and make it plain. And I don't care what language you write it in. You can write it on a big chief tablet. Some folk are not going to get it. I'll give you an example. You start to build, they'll say, I just can't see it. You got chairs out, building falling in. You got pots. Y'all may have never had that before. I did. You know them little pots that sit on the rain that helps the drum. You don't even need drums because you just, y'all don't know nothing about that. See, I know what it means. And when you say it's time to build, the first thing that people will say is, why do us need to build? You know why they say that? Because they think you're going to ask them for some money. Amen. That's the problem. So, I wanted to tell you that opposition comes anytime you want to make a change. The BGCO has been moving and evolving according to the will of God since 1906. And I guarantee you that there have been some of these opposition folk along the way. Folk who didn't want Indians. They didn't want Hispanics. They didn't want blacks. Huh? Some of them didn't even want people that looked like they did. But the fact of the matter, when God is in the business, it don't really matter what folk have to say, because God can change it, can't he? Y'all don't believe that. Listen, in Genesis, it said, let us, and things start happening. The Bible said he spoke, and that which was nothing came something. Is that in your Bible? And then he said he got tired of it just looking like it is. And he said, I want some water. I want some trees. I want some land. I want some people. The Bible says God just spoke. So when God speaks, things change, don't they? Aren't you glad about that? Is there anybody in here that's glad that when God speaks, things change? Listen, can I just talk like I want to? I wish that lady was here so we can say, can we just talk? Listen, when you are having, if you don't mind, pardon, if you're having hell in your church, help me, Holy Ghost. If you will steal away, I heard him say it, and go back to prayer, God will hear and answer your prayer. And before you drive back up into the church lot, things will begin to change. I may be the only one. I found it out. 25 years, I found out that if God don't change it, the change won't last. So let me hurry on. I'm going to see a card in a minute. There's a group of inside the group folk who have become most prolific in program killing. Amen. They have a major, and this is my topic, in mumbling and grumbling. Mm-hmm. You thought they had a PhD, but they really do have a doctorate in mumbling and grumbling, and they're real good at it because they can cause other folk to mumble and grumble. Have you seen them in your church? When you go back Sunday, just sit and watch. They in there. So some are mumbling and grumbling right now. They say, how come the pastor always gone to some conference? And then if you don't go, they upset. I ought to get an amen right there. Listen. I'd really like to say that in this 21st century that the church folk are the owners, and they have the patent on oppositional mumbling and grumbling. But I got a sad report to Baptist America that you cannot claim that ownership. I found another little group. I found a mega church here in this word. A mega group of church folk that have patented this long time ago. In Exodus, you can go there, the 14th chapter, round about that 10th verse, I'm going to read it for you. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Verse 11 says, "And they said unto Moses," these are the mumblers and grumblers, "because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" Verse 12 says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt?" This sounds like some of your church folk, don't it? It sounded like some of mine. I don't know about you. It's saying, "Let us alone. Look at her. That we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." That's an amen right there. I found this group. They were in bondage for 430 years. Right there in the land of Egypt. They were in bondage and was crying out to be delivered. Crying to Jehovah God, the God that owned the universe, and saying, "They have taken away our straw, and now we're making bricks without straw." God sent a man to deliver them. He sent a young pastor by the name of Moses. Y'all know Moses, don't you? We have some nowadays Moses who have gone into some bad situations. And when they start to change the situation, the first thing happens is those PhD mumblers and grumblers start having secret meetings. Y'all might as well say, "Man, you ought to be scared. They probably not here today." They start having meetings, and when they meet, the first thing they say is, "He done brought us out here to die." Amen. That's what they said. Isn't that what the Bible said? He sent them a man, but they didn't. And they cried out, and God answered their prayer. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, even in the year of 2009, God still hears and answers our prayer. He may not come when you want him, but my mother said he's always right on time. Oh, am I have anybody else in here that knows it don't feel like it all the time, does it? It doesn't always feel like God hears you. Sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray until you wear out pants, you wear out your family, your wife. Say, "You finna pray again? Just good old." But the thing about it is, the more you pray, the more God makes a way. Oh, I'm feeling something in here. Y'all can see. I brought my own amens with me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Listen, Moses heard because a bush that was burning, and so his prayers, their prayers were being answered. Shift was on. Move is evident. And a change is about to occur. Mm-hmm. But Moses, what he didn't know is, within the 4.5 million Israelite children, there were some Egyptians. You got Egyptians in your church. You may not believe this. I know y'all saying, "Well, Pastor, I do have some international." I'm talking about some local Egyptians. Can somebody say amen right there? I'm talking about some Egyptians that were there before you got there. And they're sitting there in the pew saying, "I'll be here when he gone." That's a good... Moses, and he had 4.5 million folk. They were singing. You remember what the Bible said. You do all read your Bible, don't you? It talks about how happy they were with Jezebel and Aaron and all of them headed out. They were happy. Everybody was singing and praying, praising God. Noise, long line of people. But within that group, hid, being incognito, was some Egyptians. When you begin to shift for the goodness of the Lord, when you begin to change for a higher calling, naysayers will show up and they'll show up at your party and say, "Why we leave in Egypt?" Now watch what happens. I just stick a pin right there and let me run on. Churches all across the BGCO horizon are in trouble and in danger right now because of the naysayers and because of the Egyptians. Pastors are not allowed to lead the church without getting a vote on top of the vote. I was so glad to hear that preacher say this morning that listen, I don't have no committee calling my officers. Because I am the one that have to deal with them. If I had somebody who said, "We vote for brother so-and-so, and we won't," then they need to deal with them. But because God has given me the right and the headship of friendship, I'll appoint my officers. And guess what? When they don't do what they're supposed to do, yes. I have the opportunity to call them in, and I got some of them here asked them. I call them and say, can I, are you busy? No, I'm not busy. What is, can you meet me this evening? Well, Pastor, I need to see you this evening. And they come in and say, "Okay, Pastor, what is it?" Because I chose them. Amen. And so we have the problem. We got pastors are not allowed to lead. Huh? There's short-sighted boards who are penny pinchers. Can I help y'all right here? Every dime that you have belongs to God. Every dime that's in your bank account belongs to God. I don't care how much you got in your building fund. It belongs. Can you say it belongs to God with me? Everything I have belongs. Didn't Psalm say the earth is the Lord and the what? Fullness. Therefore, everything we have belongs to God. I don't ever understand why time we get ready to build, Pastor, I don't see it. No, you didn't see it. That's because God didn't call you to do it. Help me, Lord. We've got to do whatever it takes to win our youth. I'm involved in the study across Oklahoma about this group that's missing. I'm looking around right now, and I think that we need to understand sometimes, you know, church is not just about us who have gotten older. Church is about some of our young people. Don't you know they need to be saved too? Your babies need to be saved. Do you realize that? That's the reason why we can't just have a gospel for older folk. Our gospel needs to be for everybody. And the opposition's going to come in your church when all of a sudden you decide, well, we're going to have to reach out for our young people. Well, Pastor, they don't have no money. I know that's good right there. They don't pay tithes. Why should we go for them? I've been paying my tithes for a long time, and now he just cuddled up with the young folk. I'm going to just tell you like we say in Black America, get somewhere and sit down. Egyptians will say, why are we wasting our time with these folk? Opposition will come when you have too many Egyptian-minded folk in the wrong places. I've got to pause here and ask somebody in here, is there any of God's folk in this house? Is there any of God's folk in this house? Is it anybody who have made a commitment to change? And the way we made that commitment, we said, for God I live and for God I'll die. We ought to have, God's folk ought to be happy whenever things begin to move. Whenever I've watched this convention, I've only been on this side. Let me go ahead and tell you, I am a Longhorn fan. I want to go ahead and say that because I don't want y'all to miss that. I haven't been here long enough yet. Crimson and red is not mine yet. They're working on me. Hallelujah. Good God. But I came across the Red Ribbon. I started to study about the convention. I know where you came from. I hear Dr. Jordan's heart on where we're going, but if we're going to get there, some things got to change. We can't leave any organization out. We can't leave any ethnicity out. Everybody got to be saved. Oh, I wish I had a witness right there. The man who don't have a dime, he still got to be saved. That brother don't have a house, he still got to be saved. He may not have no Pierre Cardin. He may not have any old day cologne, but he still has got to be saved. Can I get a big amen right there? My brothers, when we stop, my sisters, when we stop trying to save humanity, we might as well close the doors and go home. Let me hurry on. I got some things. Look there in the Word. 4.5 million folk have left bondage and are camped there beside the Red Sea. There's mountains on each side. And all of a sudden, verse 10 pops up and it says they lifted up their eyes and they saw the results of moving forward. Now remember, they were happy when they left Egypt land. You remember that, don't you? They were shouting, everybody was dancing, and they were blowing harps, and, you know, people were, it was just high-fiving, they were all over the place. But all of a sudden, they looked up, and they saw Pharaoh. They didn't see Pharaoh, they just saw the dust. I'm going somewhere with this. They didn't see the chariots, they didn't see the horses, but they saw the dust. And theologically speaking, whenever mumblers and grumblers start, they don't usually mumble and grumble for what they see. They mumble and grumble for what they think they see. Glory to God. That felt rude. For folk will get happy about the shift until they come face to face with the resistance of the shift. Verse 11. You there, aren't you? They say, you brought us here to die. See, what has happened is they forgot they were crying in Egypt land. God answered their cries on the backside of Mount Sinai out of a burning bush. Now, here they are now crying because they think God's going to bring. Listen, God's never failed us yet, y'all. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. God will never fail you. And if he brings you into dry places, he'll make water come from a rock. If he brings you in a place where there's no restaurant, he can rain down manna from heaven. I wish I had a witness in here. If he takes you to a place where they say, we're not going to pay you, God will make a money fall. Y'all ain't going to help me, are you? He can provide for us. Touch your neighbor and say, he'll provide for you. He's always, you can touch him. They all right. You go ahead. He will provide your necessity. I'm getting happy. Let me get on. Verse 12 says an interesting thing that I think it must have been Baptistic because they said, let us alone. Yeah. I've been Baptist all my life, and I've heard it said all kind of ways. But they were pretty with theirs. They said, let us alone. I've heard some people say, get away from me. They said, let us alone, let us alone. Didn't we tell you that we were doing all right? Why you came and bother us? But they didn't have to go, did they? They said we were fine before the change. And I believe that guy had to have some of us was in the midst of this group. Because parenthetically speaking, they said, why did we make this change? We've always done it this way. Just because we were making bricks without straw didn't mean you had to bring us out. But they forgot that God was the one that brought them out. I need to stop and tell you right here. If God don't do it, it can't be done. I want you to know that opposition has no legs, but it sure does get around, doesn't it? Doesn't it get around? I'm going to leave you alone now and give you back some of your time, but I need to tell you that I want to encourage somebody here. I feel like preaching, y'all. I almost thought I was at my own church, you know. I want to encourage the BGCO pastors. I want to encourage the staff and every man and woman of God in this house. I want you to understand that Moses told them something. When they start to cry, Moses says, stand still. Oh, that's good right there. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I'm on my way to a new home one day. And I really don't care if you don't want to change, but I'm on my way somewhere. The Bible said we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And I don't know about opposition for anybody else, but I stop by to tell you, I can't wait till the day happens. You see, when God institutes a change in your life, don't worry about what the naysayers say. I told y'all I feel like preaching now. Because if he promised you he would make a way for you, you don't have to worry about it. He not only did he tell them to stand still, but look there and he said, the Lord will fight for you. So my brother pastors, when you start changing things in your life, don't worry about it. Let the naysayers say. Let the opposers oppose. Because one of these days, soon and very soon, our Lord and Savior Jesus is coming back. I've listened to all the others talking here, but I got to tell you, I can't go to my seat until y'all tell you about a man who came to change things. He was opposed in his hometown. They said, who do you think you are? He was opposed as he walked the dusty roads of Jerusalem. But the Bible said he came to Pilate's court. And they put a rugged cross on his shoulders. Anybody know anything about the cross? Listen, when your opposition shows up, point them to Calvary. Because it's at a hill called Calvary where our Savior died. The Bible said they didn't oppose his death, but they opposed his life. Isn't that interesting, y'all? The naysayer won't oppose you when you pack up your Bibles and leave the church. But they'll oppose you as long as you stand and cry out that God is God and there is no other like him in here. Can I get a witness in here? Can I get somebody to say amen? It was there on that hill called Calvary that he died. Anybody know he died? The Bible said blood came streaming down. But I got some good news for somebody in here that may be going through a tough time. He didn't stay dead, y'all. I got the report the other day that said right early on a Sunday morning, my Lord and your God, he got up, and the Bible says he had all power. Anybody know he got power?